Coming up on today's Locked On Giants podcast, we're going to be talking about the free agent starting pitcher class, because Farhan Zaidi, the Giants president of baseball operations, has literally said that starting pitching is going to be the number one priority. And it doesn't take a genius to figure that out, given that the Giants only have one spot in their rotation accounted for, and that belongs to Logan Webb. Everybody else is a free agent. And so this week, a number of sources like ESPN, Fangraphs, MLB Trade Rumors released their top 50 free agent lists with contract predictions. And so I compiled all of those sources and looked at starting pitchers, and we're going to take a look at those guys and see who I think might be fits for the San Francisco Giants to be in that rotation in 2022 and potentially beyond. So all of that coming up next on today's Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thank you for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms, which now includes YouTube. And coming up on today's show, as I said, we're gonna take a look at free agent starting pitchers. I went through MLB Trade Rumors, ESPN, and Fangraphs, compiled all the starting pitchers that were on at least MLB Trade Rumors top 50, but I looked at the projected or predicted contracts for each of those starters on MLB Trade Rumors top 50 list. And look, there are some guys who are on like ESPN's list that weren't on MLB Trade Rumors, but we'll take a look at those guys for another day. This list makes up pretty much everyone who is considered a top starting pitcher candidate. So without further delay, let's just jump right in. And the number one guy, according to MLB Trade Rumors, is Kevin Gausman. So we have spent a lot of time talking about Kevin Gausman, and yesterday I talked about those predicted contracts. So I'll just run through them again really quickly here before I give my take on the fit with the Giants. So MLB Trade Rumors predicts 6 years, $138 million, which is an average of $23 million per season. ESPN predicts 5 years, $105 million, which is an average of $21 million per season. Fangraphs predicts 3 years, $54 million. To me, this is the outlier, and it doesn't really belong, and I don't think that's going to be the case. 3 years, $54 million, an average of $18 million per year per Fangraphs. So I just wanted to point out some interesting comments courtesy of Andy Baggerly in The Athletic yesterday. He spoke with Kevin Gausman. The story was about Buster Posey, but also some Gausman stuff in there. So Gausman said about his free agency, quote, "I'm open to going anywhere, honestly, but I really enjoyed my time in San Francisco and I felt I was part of something special. The city is really beautiful and it's my favorite ballpark to play in. There were so many aspects of it I loved. More importantly, the group of guys in that clubhouse. It's probably the closest I've been with all 25 plus guys. It was just a lot of fun. I'd definitely like to continue that and feel there's some unfinished business. But at the same time, I do understand it's a business." He later went on to say, quote, "To be honest, I don't think the Giants expected me to pitch as well as I did this year. So I'm not putting my eggs into one basket. I'm trying to focus on what I can control right now, which is basically nothing. But yeah, I hope they'll call me. And honestly, if they don't, my feelings probably will be hurt because I felt I was part of something special." So, wow, a lot to unpack there. The comment about the Giants didn't expect me to pitch as well as I did this year, that's not exactly what he said. "I don't think the Giants expected me to pitch as well as I did this year." That's really interesting. And also, I hope they'll call me. But I want to say, at this early stage of the offseason, of course they're going to call Kevin Gausman. They're just not going to ignore him. But anyway, I have said time and time again that I do think the Giants will ultimately re-sign Kevin Gausman. So I think that at some of those predicted prices, or right around where the two others are converging, is fair. Gausman put up a 2.81 ERA in 2021, 3.00 fielding independent pitching, just really good numbers across the board. So I think there's definitely a fit. So I would expect, of course, the Giants are going to have a dialogue with Kevin Gausman. He clearly loves it here. I think there's mutual interest in these sides meeting up and working something out. So moving on, I want to talk about, I don't necessarily want to go in order here. I just want to focus on some guys, with Gausman being the first, that I think are fits for the Giants. So the next guy for me is Max Scherzer. Now, I have talked about how I think that Scherzer may be a long shot because I believe he has family in Southern California and he likes the heat. I think I heard him directly say that. And so, yeah, if you like heat, San Francisco's not necessarily the place for you. Maybe if you go out to the East Bay or something like that. But the predicted contract here, MLB Trade Rumors has 3 years, $120 million, so $40 million per season over a short term. ESPN has 3 years, $90 million, so $30 million over three. And Fangraphs has 2 years, $70 million, so $35 million per year. So notice that we've got 30, 35, and 40 as the average annual value over 2 or 3 years. And I think this perfectly fits what the Giants should be looking to do. This is going to be a theme as we continue on with this show. Shorter term deals with guys, four guys with big upside. I think that any of those contracts would be just fantastic. I mean, I think the 3 years, $120 million is a little bit over the top. I would kind of maybe land in the middle at $35 million per year, maybe over 3 years. And then that comes out to roughly the Trevor Bauer contract, which I think is a fair thing for any team to try to match if you're looking at a shorter term deal like Scherzer would be in line for. I mean, because the fact is he's 37 years old, so you're not going to give him a 10-year deal, you know. So I think that this is a great fit for the Giants. The only question is, does he want to play for you? And I mean, if you offer him 3 years, $120 million, I'm not sure any team is going to top that, although I'm sure that the Dodgers are going to be in, and they're going to be in on this type of contract. I think that I could definitely see, I think it's very likely Scherzer ends up returning to LA, unfortunately. I hate to say it, but I do think that's the reality. But coming up next, we'll continue to look through the list. There are other candidates kind of in that Scherzer mold, and there's everything else in between. So we're just going to continue to take a look at these free agent starters in just a minute. But first, we're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts. All right, here we go. We are going to continue talking about free agent starting pitchers. I count 18 among MLB Trade Rumors' top 50 list. And so we've only talked about a couple of them. They had Kevin Gausman as their best free agent starter, which is telling you something. I mean, he was that good for the Giants, obviously. Some other places like Fangraphs have him much lower and behind some pitchers who I just don't consider to be better than Gausman. But that's neither here nor there. Let's continue looking at some guys who might make sense on deals like Max Scherzer, or I'm talking about Justin Verlander. Okay, so we talked about him the other day, and The one thing, Justin Verlander did receive a qualifying offer, and I get comments every time I talk about this that the Giants shouldn't care about draft pick compensation. They're a big market team, and they shouldn't care at all. It's not that they should or shouldn't care. It's just definitely worth mentioning because, and I wasn't even totally clear on this, but now I am, and I'm going to explain this. But basically, if the Giants sign one player who received a qualifying offer, rejected it, and then ends up signing with the Giants, the penalty, the exact kind of position that you lose if you're the San Francisco Giants, is your second highest draft pick. And the penalty depends on your financial status. Teams that exceeded the luxury tax threshold the prior season have to give up their like second and fifth highest draft picks, I believe it is, and they also lose $1 million towards their international draft pool. And for the Giants, they fall into the middle ground as a team that didn't receive revenue sharing. Those teams lose, I think it's their third highest draft pick. It may even be lower than that. I'll have to look again. It's just there's a lot of small little rules here. But for the Giants, they would be losing their second highest draft pick, which as of this time would be that second round pick. And of course, the Giants had the best record in the major league. So they're picking at the very end of every round. So it would be something around, you know, like the 65th, 70th highest pick in the draft. So to me, that is not a cost that necessarily warrants like just ignoring guys who received and rejected the qualifying offer. If you're a luxury tax team, losing your second and fifth highest picks, it's a little more of something to consider. And then if you sign another guy who received the qualifying offer and rejected it, so let's say you sign two such guys, you lose your next highest draft pick after that. So for the Giants, it would be, you know, at the end of the third round. So anyway, that's kind of the status there. But to me, if you get a player like Justin Verlander, if you believe he can get back to being Justin Verlander, then it's well worth it. And as we'll see, there are a number of position players who also received the qualifying offer who I think might be fits for the Giants, like Chris Taylor as an example. But it's just worth mentioning, it is an added cost, right? You're giving up a draft pick in addition to paying the salary. So it's just something to keep in mind. But Justin Verlander, the predicted contract by MLB Trade Rumors is 2 years, $40 million, obviously $2 million per season. ESPN and Fangraphs both predict that Verlander will accept the qualifying offer. The reason he would do that is just to basically prove that he's back and healthy, get a hefty $18.4 million while he's at it, and then re-enter the market next season, coming off presumably a better and healthy season. The thing is, Justin Verlander had Tommy John surgery. For those of you who don't know, he pitched just a few innings in 2020, and then he missed all of 2021. But he threw in front of scouts earlier this week and was reportedly hitting 94 to 97 miles an hour, and he's reportedly seeking a contract of some length per the Astros owner. So I don't necessarily foresee him accepting the qualifying offer, and if you can give him maybe 3 years a la Scherzer, but he's not going to cost quite as much because of the injury, then, I mean, I just think Verlander is definitely a guy the Giants should and will be in on. And in fact, MLB Trade Rumors, in their predictions of where he'll land, they have three different staff writers doing these predictions about where the player will end up. And two out of the three do predict that Verlander ends up a San Francisco Giant. So I just wanted to pass that along. So Clayton Kershaw is also out there and kind of in this tier, but I just think there's like a 0% chance he leaves the Dodgers, and even more zero, which is impossible. He's not going to sign with the Giants. He's just a legacy guy. It's like Buster Posey. There's just no way he would ever have played for the Dodgers. He just won't do it, and I just don't ever see that happening. So we're just going to ignore him and move on to Noah Syndergaard. So there are just a lot of these high upside, high octane guys. And Syndergaard, like Verlander, is coming off Tommy John, and he didn't really pitch. He pitched like one or two innings in 2021, and that was it. He also received the qualifying offer. So I would say the Astros and the Mets here are being smart by putting the qualifying offer on these guys because it makes them more likely to return, and they would like that. But again, like, so if the Giants were to sign Noah Syndergaard, they'd give up their second highest draft pick, assuming he's the only qualifying offer guy they sign, but that's not necessarily a safe assumption. But anyway, MLB Trade Rumors predicts 1 year, $18.4 million, which is accepting the qualifying offer. ESPN predicts 2 years, $28 million, obviously $14 million per season, and Fangraphs predicts he'll accept the qualifying offer. So I don't really know why Noah Syndergaard would do 2 years, $28 million. At that point, just accept the qualifying offer and re-enter the market next year. I'm not sure what the benefit is of a two-year deal. If you're Syndergaard, why not take a three-year or more deal here if you're not going to accept the qualifying offer? But yeah, he's just another guy who should and will be on the Giants' radar. So coming up next, there are more kind of middle-tier guys. There's a couple of guys at the higher end, Robbie Ray, Marcus Stroman, Eduardo Rodriguez. There's a lot more guys to get to, so we're just going to kind of power through several of them next. Okay, as promised, we are going to talk about the remaining players on this list. MLB Trade Rumors put out their top 50, and we're going to look at eventually all of the pitchers that they had in their top 50 and those predicted contracts for them based on MLB Trade Rumors, ESPN, and Fangraphs. So actually, the number two guy that MLB Trade Rumors has on their list is Robbie Ray. And Robbie Ray is an interesting case. He did receive the qualifying offer, I believe. Yeah, of course he did. So I didn't write that down, but memory serving me well here. Of course, he received the qualifying offer coming off just a fabulous season for the Toronto Blue Jays. We know Robbie Ray well from his time with the Arizona Diamondbacks, when he was consistently inconsistent and not a frontline starter, but always seemed to have the ability to get there and just wasn't able to do it in Arizona. High strikeout guy, but a guy who just seemed to allow a lot of hard contact and always had a home run issue, which is not that uncommon playing in Arizona. But he went to Toronto and just had a breakout season in 2021. Came in with a 2.84 earned run average, 3.69 fielding independent pitching, 3.36 expected fielding independent pitching, 3.55 expected ERA. Just really, really strong numbers across the board. And he becomes an interesting guy. But when we look at the predicted contract here, MLB Trade Rumors has 5 years, $130 million, $26 million per year. Fangraphs has 4 years, $76 million. And, ESPN has 476, and Fangraphs has 4112, an average of $28 million per year. So ESPN is kind of the outlier, but I kind of lean towards them being more onto something. If you just have one breakout season, I'm just not sure that teams are going to run out here spending $130 million on you. I would much rather have Max Scherzer on that three-year $90 million, $100 million range than Robbie Ray for 5 years, $130 million. I just have concerns about Robbie Ray reverting a little bit to the Robbie Ray of old. He actually had a similar season in 2017 where he was great, and then he just regressed back to being inconsistent Robbie Ray in 2018 and 2019. So I just have some concerns about that. Maybe they're not warranted. Maybe the breakout is real. I'm not saying that it's not, but I think the Giants will pass if the price is anywhere near 5 years, $130 million. So the next guy who is interesting on this list is Marcus Stroman. Stroman is a little bit of a throwback pitcher, and actually he reminds me a lot of Logan Webb in that he's a ground ball machine. And so the Giants already have one of those guys in Logan Webb, and Stroman just gets the job done in an unconventional way in this day and age, which is that he doesn't strike a lot of people out and he relies a lot on contact. So when you have a really good infield defense like the Giants do, at least with Crawford and if Belt comes back and Longoria, assuming he's continuing to play a lot, at least in 2022, then these guys can be even better. And so Stroman, like I said, he just consistently prevents runs, even though he does it in a little bit of a throwback way. So the predicted contract by MLB Trade Rumors is 5 years, $110 million, which is kind of right in line with what I expect from Kevin Gausman. ESPN says 3 years, $48 million, so a very different interpretation. And Fangraphs has 4 years, $100 million. So this is like wild fluctuation, and it speaks to what I'm saying, which is that Stroman gets the job done, so that's when you look at those bigger contracts. And then when I say in an unconventional way, that's when you look at that lower, kind of more pessimistic contract, because there's some fear that as soon as maybe your pinpoint command or you lose a little velocity, if that goes away, then you're vulnerable more so than a dominant strikeout type of pitcher. So I'd be really interested to see what transpires with Stroman. I think at 3 years, $48 million, if that ends up being what he signs for, that's a deal that the Giants should and will be all over. I mean, I'm not promising they're going to sign him, but I think that the price is right when you're looking at that. But if you're talking 4 years, $100 million, 5 years, $110 million, I think the Giants would stay away, and there are better buys like Kevin Gausman, who doesn't do it in an unconventional way. He is one of those strikeout, more dominant type of pitchers. So another guy who's really interesting to me is John Gray. There's also Carlos Rodon, but John Gray did not get hit with the qualifying offer, even though pretty much everybody in the industry thought that he should have. And so it's just a continuation of weirdness from the Colorado Rockies. They weren't contending. John Gray was an impending free agent. They could have traded him at the deadline, but they decided to keep him, citing that they wanted to keep him on their team long term, and so they just wanted to keep him in the fold. But then they don't even put the qualifying offer on him, so there's a chance now, as a free agent, he could just sign with another team, and the Rockies get nothing to show for it. So I don't care. I mean, that's the Rockies' problem. Just had to kind of point out the backstory there. But John Gray has been a solid pitcher in the toughest place on earth to pitch, or at least in the major leagues. So he is an interesting guy. He does get his fair share of strikeouts, although actually, as I look at it, it's more of a league average rate. But there are some, you know, his pitch characteristics. He's able to throw hard. His average fastball was 95 miles an hour this year. And he's just an interesting guy to imagine what the performance would be like away from Denver. And he seems to me, without digging in too much, to be a guy who could really thrive with the right pitching group to help him change his pitch mix or determine which pitches to throw and when, which is the pitch mix. So John Gray, interesting guy to me. And MLB Trade Rumors predicts 4 years, $56 million. ESPN and Fangraphs both come in at 3 years, $39 million. And I think, again, this is a good buy and something that the Giants should and probably will be interested in. It comes in at a similar type of predicted contract as Anthony DeSclafani. And so I understand that. I think that they are probably pretty similar. So either one of those guys, I think, returning, or DeSclafani returning or signing John Gray, I'm not entirely sure which one I would prefer if I had to choose, but I think that it's fair to put Gray kind of into that same type of tier. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. There are a lot more pitchers, obviously, that we didn't get to, but to me, those are some of the most interesting names. Carlos Rodon is someone who I should have talked about today. He's got a lot of upside, as we saw this season, but he's consistently dealt with injuries. But that's exactly the type of guy that the Giants should target. And so I think that they will. And in fact, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he were to end up with the San Francisco Giants. So maybe we'll mention him tomorrow when we start to look through some of the more intriguing position players in the same manner, talking about their predicted contracts by these major sources. So I can't wait to be with you then. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, liking, commenting, and subscribing to get these shows every single day. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. Thank you so much again for listening. Stay locked on, Giants. We'll be right back.